Hello! Welcome back to Even More News, the first and the only news podcast. My name is Katie Stoll.
Hello, my name is Cody Johnston.
Hi, I'm Dave Bell. It's my last name.
It is your last name. Just a caveat up top here. One of our cables isn't working, so Cody and I are sharing a mic.
Prove it. Hi, it's Cody.
That's a joke. That's a visual gag and does not play in the audio medium. Suffice to say, he leaned over desperately to get into the mics.
But hey.
Guys, before we get too deep into this crazy episode, I want to wish you all a very happy National Croissant Day. Yum, yeah. Yum, yum.
No.
Cody, you love croissants.
I don't like croissant day.
Why?
You've gotten me croissants before.
Why don't you like croissant day?
I've had bad experiences that I want to talk about. It's none of your business. This isn't like a personal Cody life podcast. It's about politics.
Okay, you're giving me a really aggressive croissant energy.
Well, you should know this by now.
Well, let me say the thing that I prepared to say.
Fine.
Which is, quote, and this is a quote from the National Holiday Today calendar. So, While most of us know it as a French specialty, the croissant actually originated in Austria under the name Kipferls.
Huh.
Marie Antoinette first introduced the Austrian pastry to France when she married into the royal family and requested the simple cake in the crescent shape of her homeland. Fascinating. Maybe if she'd said, let them eat croissants, things would have gone a little bit differently.
Sure.
I don't know. What do you say about national croissants?
What are croissants?
Exactly.
What are
croissants? How do you eat them?
You eat them with your mouth?
Yeah, you just pop them in.
It's just fucked up bread, right?
Yeah, it's like flaky, airy bread.
Okay.
It's kind of like rolled up together.
So you don't like put... Because I've seen like croissant sandwiches and stuff.
Don't do that.
You can.
Yeah, but you shouldn't.
You can put stuff on croissants.
Why not?
It doesn't feel right. Like the croissants are the wrong shape. And like,
okay, but
they fall apart. They're flaky.
Sure, they do. They are a messy thing. I don't think that you need to have like a big sandwich, but you know, people certainly put things in there.
Just a big bread stickler, like for sandwiches.
You're a classicist.
Like, would you never eat like a sandwich with like a bagel?
No, bagel makes sense.
Okay,
because I would argue that's just a bagel, not a sandwich.
If you put stuff in between, it's a sandwich.
Well, because all bagels are supposed to have stuff in between it, like, you know, cream cheese.
But not
box.
Like you cut it and then you put the stuff in, then you put them.
Yeah,
smash
that's
it back
how
together.
You. I would say that most people eat their bagels prepared like thusly.
Well, tell me this: so if you have a slice of toast, right, and you put butter on the toast, that's not a sandwich. But if you take another piece of toast, and you put something on that, and then you put them together, then it's a sandwich. A sandwich, I think, requires two levels of bread.
Yeah. Someone... but a bagel. People get a bagel. You don't just what maniac is just eating the bagel as is, plain with nothing.
It's a desperation.
Yeah, but if you put
cream
cheese on a bagel, would you
call it a bagel sandwich?
I mean, do you put them together?
Yeah.
Or do you have them separately? Like you spread it and then you eat.
You can
the piece.
Do both.
Have you ever bought a bagel that they didn't sandwich it together thusly?
Yeah.
And they just gave you the two halves
they'll do the halves sometimes. Yeah.
Well, sure. If it's mushed together,
then that's definitely a sandwich. I didn't think that until now, but now I do.
So we're coming back around to the is a hot dog a sandwich question
It is not.
It is not, though.
I think the internet recently solved this because someone pointed this out, and I wish I could credit them. It was social media. But the sandwich originated from the Earl of Sandwich, who wanted to gamble while eating at the same time. Mm-hmm. That was the idea. He was a poker player. So I think anything that's a sandwich is basically imagine you're the Earl of Sandwich and you want to accomplish your gambling while eating at the same time.
Mm.
If you can do that using two pieces of bread in one hand, then it's a sandwich.
Interesting. So it's just sort of putting a meal in your hand, basically.
But like, okay, let's pull back a little bit. So are we counting a bagel as a form of bread?
I think so.
Is a croissant a form of bread? Because we're... According to National Holiday Today, it's a cake.
I think it's a fucked up.
What about a taco?
I think a taco could work
as a sandwich.
Yeah,
if a hot dog's a sandwich, then
like the Earl of Sandwich would definitely have a taco while he's gambling.
Yeah, I think if you gave the Earl of Sandwich a taco, he'd be like, "Oh, this is just another type of sandwich."
Yeah, thank God. Now I can gamble.
If
I can
you
keep
give
gambling.
The Earl a sandwich a taco, he's gonna want a bagel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you give the Earl a sandwich a bagel, he's gonna want a hot dog. Okay, we've been talking about this for 6 minutes.
We could keep going.
Or We could talk about today's sponsors. The first one being Feels, because I, for one, would like to say thanks to Feels for supporting Even More News.
Okay.
When I use Feels, it has me feelsing my best, and it can help you, too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/morenews, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping.
Speaking of thanking supporters of Even More News, thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Even More News. For 10% off your first month, go to
betterhelp.com/evenmore.
Very well done, us.
Thanks.
Let's do a little quick update section. We have a video out this week. Cody, you want to tell us what that's about?
I guess. It's about Pete. It's about Mayor, former Mayor Pete.
We're trying to get former Mayor Pete to catch on. So hashtag former Mayor Pete. Hashtag.
Yeah, basically the goal. Yeah, hashtag former Mayor Pete.
I guess it's
hashtag former, hashtag mayor, hashtag Pete.
Yeah, all of those are good options.
I support doing that because he's no longer the mayor. And also bullying him enough that he drops out and endorses Bernie Sanders, his hero from childhood.
I don't love the bullying, but
I'm fine with bullying Pete specifically.
I think it should be called something different when it's a politician. But
pressuring.
Pressuring.
Public pressure.
By calling them names.
Yeah. I mean, politicians
like
have the bully pulpit. yeah, pressuring him with aggressive name calling. It's not even name calling. He's the former Mayor Pete. Yeah, actually, and this is, it's kind of a weird episode because the show, Some More News, doesn't really do like electoral politics in that way of like vote for this guy, don't vote for this guy. This,
well,
you
like,
know,
except for Joe Biden run for primary.
Yeah,
Donald
but that's
Trump.
Not even like, and that's not like an anti-endorsement or
no.
Endorsement.
I understand.
It's a different. It's I think a very specific angle that fits the show. Whereas this Pete episode is a little away from that.
Yeah.
So if you felt the same way watching the episode, if you're listening to this, I agree and hear you and. It's not like we're going to do that all the time.
Yeah.
I just had a lot to say about Pete.
One more thing before we move on to this week's news. I wanted to say thank you to everybody who's reached out with really constructive, positive feedback for not only last week's Even More News episode, but this week's Worst Year Ever. I'm sure most of you know that we continued our conversation about Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, what's happening in their campaigns, what's the differences between their platforms. And we left feeling like we had a really productive conversation. We wanted to try to infuse it with something that we've been talking a lot about, which is being able to have these tough conversations and remembering that at the end of the day, sometimes the people that you're disagreeing with are your friends and they're on your side. And a lot of you, I think, received that. And there was a lot of you that didn't. A lot of you seemed to think that we were upset with each other. I want to assure you that we are not. It was also it's just interesting to see how you can't please everybody. There was certainly a lot of the expected response from people directed at me. I'm not going to get into it again because we've been through that. But there was a lot of, Cody and Robert talked over Katie the whole episode. And then the next comment would be, Katie talked the entire time and didn't let Cody say a word. And it's just like, well, what are you going to do?
It reminds me of the Nick Sandman video where you realize that, and I think it's always been true, and I don't think it says anything about divisiveness in politics now or anything like that, but two people can watch the exact same thing and have completely different interpretations based on their own experiences, and I don't know. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And, you know, I certainly saw a lot of people being concerned that this is the new tone of the shows, that we're going to keep having fights like this. Stop it. Don't worry about that. We've been doing this for 2 years and and we've always had these kinds of disagreements. It's a healthy part of our dynamic. And I think that we both represent people that listen to the show. And so it's important that we remain true to that when the time is appropriate.
Yeah, and discuss them. And like, it's not going to be like a regular thing where we talk about these relationships or these people in contact with each other every week. Because, like we talked about in both episodes, that is largely what the media wants us to do. They want to cause this drama and division and have it be the focus. because it only helps Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.
Right.
So yeah, it's maybe we'll bring it up sometimes when things happen, but it's not going to be like a regular tonal shift.
As a listener of that episode, I maybe it's because I know you guys. I wasn't worried because I think you guys did a good job at pointing out like it's both good. It's like these.
Yeah.
Like, it's good that we get to choose. And like debate these two people who are both largely very progressive and good and like in the lead for the most part, although I haven't paid too much attention to that. And so I don't know, like it's overall positive for that reason.
I think so too, even if it is hard at times. All right, now it's time to talk about other
Bernie
things.
Bernie Sanders.
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we'll see, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the first news that we are going to talk about this week is incredibly sad. On Sunday, the world woke up to the reality that Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, and seven other people died in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California. This was really gutting for me, for everybody, I think. A lot of people are still reeling from it. And I'm not even like a Kobe fan. It just struck me hard.
The nature of the accident stuff is always shocking when that happens because I'm not a sports person fan at all, but it's just shocking when there's like a name that's always been around and then it's something as drastic as that and then hearing about the other victims and like this weird reminder that life will just come to a screeching halt like that.
Yeah. It's an appalling story. And look, we're obviously going to discuss some of the controversy around Kobe, like the sexual assault allegations. But we're going to get to that in a second, because while that's an incredibly important part of this conversation, the first thing that needs to be acknowledged is that 9 people, including 3 children, lost their lives tragically. So what happened? I'm sure most of you know, but we're going to refresh anyway. They were on their way to a basketball tournament at Kobe's Mamba Academy, which is a part of his Mamba Foundation. And the girls that were on the helicopter were on their way to play in a game. Kobe coached the team along with Christina Mauser. They were taking Kobe's private helicopter, something he's famously used for a long time. However, there was a lot of fog that day, and despite the pilot being very experienced, they clipped one of the mountains and they went down. And like I mentioned, there were 7 other people on the plane, and most of the world is mourning the loss of Kobe and his daughter. It's important to acknowledge everybody else that was on the plane. That's John Altobelli, Carrie Altobelli, Alyssa Altobelli, Christina Mauser, Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, and Ara Zobayan. A little bit about the victims. John Altobelli was the head baseball coach at Orange Coast College in Costa Mesa. His wife, Carrie, and their daughter, Alyssa, a teammate of Gianna's, were also on board. This is from CBS. It's hard to put into words what this loss means to the college and the athletics department. John was a tremendous coach and an even better friend. Beyond that, he was an amazing mentor to all of the students and athletes that he taught and coached. He treated them all like family, and his impact will live on forever. Sarah Chester and her middle school-aged daughter, Peyton, were also on board. Peyton, another one of Gianna's teammates. Sarah and Peyton were the lights of our family, the Chester said in a statement. Peyton had a smile and personality that would light any room and a passion for the game of basketball. She found joy on any court and loved all of her teammates and coaches. Christina Mauser, a basketball coach at Gianna's school, Harbor Day School, was also the assistant coach. She leaves behind 3 small children and a husband. And finally, the pilot, Ara Zobayan, who, according to the FAA, has been flying, has received his commercial pilot license in 2007. He was more than qualified to fly in these weather conditions. He was a flight instructor, and he was also Kobe's private pilot. Apparently, Kobe would not fly without him. Yeah, so please, you know, keep these people in mind as well. So yeah, the response to this has been huge and intense. I know Los Angeles in particular has been really hit hard by these news. Kobe represents LA. He was a Laker for his entire career. There's memorials popping up everywhere around Los Angeles. And a lot of people have been sharing all of the meaningful things that Kobe has done throughout his career, such as starting the Kobe and Vanessa Bryant Family Foundation, which is mostly aimed at providing services for homeless kids. He's also been heavily involved with the Make-A-Wish Foundation over the last 20 years. He's granted more than 250 wishes to children battling life-threatening illnesses. And of course, there was all this talk about what a good dad he was, and that's undeniable. That is totally undeniable. His love for them was very palpable. It's interesting because I think that we easily celebrate celebrity dads, especially like famous athletes. And you're like, oh, look, they're a good dad. You see the picture of them out and you're like, and it's almost like you expect less from them because they're rich and famous and they're traveling around or whatever. And that's not the case with him. He was like a legit good dad.
From everything I've seen, yeah, that sounds like the case.
You know, bragging about him, just such a good involved parent, really adoring of his daughters and supportive and encouraging of them and they can do whatever they want, all of that. But none of this erases the fact that there are things in his past that we can and should be talking about if we're going to accurately discuss his life, such as the sexual assault allegations that he faced in the early 2000s. I mean, they're not even allegations. This is true thing that happened. And I, not to continue talking about online bullshit that I get, but I tweeted, you know, a couple of random Kobe things on Sunday when he passed away. And refrained from joining the sexual assault conversation because for me, and it's something that I have talked about on this podcast before, when somebody dies, for the most part, I think it's appropriate, at least for me, to take a beat before dissecting them. And that's my perspective.
Yeah,
and I know that
you're really consistent about that, too. We've talked about that before in the context of other people.
That it's just something that I don't feel comfortable with. I understand that other people have a need to, and I respect that. But it's just for me, I'm like, I got to give it a beat, you know, and then to leave just out of respect for the people that they've left behind. Out of respect for all the other lives that were lost.
I don't know if this is true. Because I'm sort of the same way, and I was more that when I started, like, having close encounters with death, losing people, and realizing, like, it's not even about that person. It's thinking about the family and the daughter. And, like if I heard that, this is a weird standard. If I heard that a bunch of adults died in a helicopter crash, I'd be like, oh man, like helicopters are dangerous. But the fact that there were kids in there who don't really, you know, they're teenagers. They don't really have control over their lives. They're young.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's awful. That's terrible. And it's terrible no matter what. But
yeah,
people are complicated. And this seems like a very complicated situation.
Yeah.
Social media, there's been many, many different reactions.
Yeah. So I don't begrudge somebody who is triggered by the fact that, and I don't like the word triggered, but you know what I mean. But
literally this context is the right time to use it.
You know, I don't begrudge you needing to say something because everybody's celebrating this person, but not mentioning the elephant in the room. It just isn't something that I feel comfortable with doing immediately. But anyway, for those of you who do not know, in July of 2003, Kobe was charged with the sexual assault of a 19-year-old woman in a Colorado hotel where she worked. The criminal charges were ultimately dropped because I guess there were all these gaffes in her name and her personal details got leaked to the public. And then that led to her not wanting to testify, which is 100% understandable. Also, this was pre-Me Too. I don't imagine that people were being really sympathetic to her and protecting her.
The trial sounded kind of gross.
Yeah, it sounded nasty.
Yeah.
And I, you know, honestly, I was too young and self-absorbed at the time to have paid a close enough attention to this story. But yeah, I can't imagine what that climate was like for her. Anyway, they still ended up going to civil court and they settled for some large amount of money, which, you know.
Yeah, that was that.
There's that. But anyway, one thing about this that was wild at the time is that the transcript of Kobe's interview with the investigators was anonymously released to the public. So a lot of the details are out there. I'm going to read a little bit from this CBS article after they got the transcript. But it's a little bit graphic. So if that's going to bother you, skip ahead 20 seconds or something like that, 30 seconds to be safe. I don't want anybody to feel like they just got immersed in something they weren't ready to handle. Said that Bryant grabbed the woman by the neck hard enough to leave a small bruise on her jaw, bent her over a chair, and pulled down her underwear. It was consensual. There was nothing weird, you know what I mean? Bryant said during the interview. Did she say anything to you to provoke any of this to happen? Winters asked. First of all, I hate that line of questioning. Mm-hmm. Did she do anything to provoke this?
Provoke is not...
makes me cringe. She said she wanted to, you know. She hoped that I would... It's bleeped. I'm assuming he said fuck her. When Loya told Bryant the woman had experienced some bleeding, he said he was surprised because he hadn't noticed any blood. The shirt he was wearing, which he gave to the investigators, was later found to be stained with the woman's blood. Asked what happened while she was leaving Bryant's room, he told investigators she never cried, she put on her clothes, asked for his autograph, and gave him a kiss. Winters has said that the woman cried during the act and said no at least twice. He also said Bryant told her to go to his bathroom and clean herself up before she left, and that bellman, Bobby Pytrak, told investigators she seemed upset and her clothes and hair were disheveled when she left work that night. So, yeah, I mean... That's brutal sounding to me.
Yeah, that's awful.
You know, he also, during this, it came out that, you know, it's not the first time he'd had some sort of relationship like this. He pointed to some other woman he'd been sleeping with to say, like, you know, she likes it like this or whatever. Yeah. He had a young daughter at the time. It's awful. It's awful sounding. And I'd like to talk a little bit about how we respond when somebody with a complicated history passes away like this.
It's so complicated.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get too personal, but when I talked about like knowing death, I've experienced someone die who I didn't like.
Yeah.
Who I had a lot of problems with. And then that happens. And then you see what it does to their family and the ripple it creates. And there's no good feeling. There's no good answer. Because it is complicated.
Yeah.
Because it's like, and I think it's just the older you get, the more you realize it, where it's, and I think it's funny because when you're like a teenager and you don't care about anything and you think of adults as being so like uptight and easy to trigger, it's for this reason. It's because they've lived longer and they've experienced more, right? And so this whole thing with Kobe Bryant is like, we're expected to make some sort of conclusive statement on it. And it's like, fuck, I don't know. Like, it's awful. It's all awful. And it's complicated and it's messy.
Yeah. But ignoring it, I think a lot of people don't even want it to be brought up. And I think that's not the way to go.
No, not at all.
And just being able to talk about it in this way. I mean, this is how you do it, right?
I personally think it's wait a couple days.
sure.
But again, part of what makes me bring up this question is people were upset with me for not mentioning it. I responded with what I felt was appropriate. And then I saw there's this one thread from Allison Becker when she brought this up, and it got a lot of backlash from people brought upon her. Granted, it was very close after he died. Right. But she was feeling that as a sexual assault survivor, she felt the need to bring it up. And it seemed like it felt like a little bit of a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of a day. And I think that maybe the answer is something along the lines of what the answer is in so many ways this period of our lives is to respect what other people are going through a little bit, to have a bit more empathy for each other. I won't pretend to be able to, I can't tell anybody what's right for them, you know?
I think when famous people die, there's often a course correction where you get this explosion of praise on the internet, and people like for that first moment seem to like forget their sins, forget everything wrong. And if you're someone who's been a victim of that sort of thing, of something that this person did, you get pissed off, and very rightfully so. And you're like, you know what? No, fuck this person.
Yeah.
Screw them. Like, and I don't think that's, I think that's a healthy reaction. I don't think that's a bad reaction, but
yeah,
the internet is just so many people clashing with each other over this sort of stuff and their own experiences that.
Yeah, you're right.
There's no right answer.
Yeah, I think that's true, and that's not going to change. I think it's just like this will keep happening because everyone to a certain degree has some, like, you know, a lot of celebrities are going to have extreme examples of this because they can get away with it. And it, you know, contrasts with a lot of other things they do in their life. And it's going to keep happening. Even, you know, political figures, this happens a lot with them.
Yeah.
The actions they actually do to like the broader public. But I don't think that, like, no one's going to not have the first reaction, and no one's going to not have the response to it. So it's just going to keep happening, I think, honestly. And, well, like, people will react, and, you know.
Yeah, and
the
honestly, there are political figures. I'm not going to name names, but if they, or when they pass, if I'm still alive, I'll just be like,
yeah, fuck that person.
There's certain people that it's a very small number. Cause I agree with you, Katie, that it's like, for most people, it's like, have a buffer, have some sensitivity. But we're all human. And so there's just,
I think personally, for me anyway, and it's life advice, is to have empathy for people. If you see somebody speaks out really close after somebody's passed because they felt the need to, maybe that bothers you, but maybe you can also ask yourself, remind yourself that you don't understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
You know, and vice versa. If you feel the need to speak out, maybe take a step back and reflect upon who is going to be reading this and how much pain it might bring them. Yeah. Other than that, I don't know. One more thing that I just want to bring up is that there's also, I think, something that must be really upsetting for sexual assault survivors specifically, is people pointing in defense of Kobe to how much he's grown, which is probably true. Maybe that's true. You know, they point to he called a referee, a gay slur once. And then after he was shown that, he started really volunteering in the LGBT community and doing stuff to try to change. He publicly learned from his mistakes, and how he proves himself to be a good father to women and to daughters and all this stuff. And that can be frustrating because it just erases the conversation.
Right.
And I just feel like that's an important point to make. Otherwise, we're not doing this conversation justice. That specifically is probably very frustrating for people that are carrying that trauma.
Right. Because who cares how much they've grown?
Right. I mean, it's good. I'm glad.
Are their victims okay?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, how have they been able to get past it?
Right.
The idea of, like, oh, he overcame this thing where he victimized someone.
Right.
It's just like,
did they overcome?
Exactly.
Worrying about other people seeing it and family members and stuff, I think there's a degree of that. Because, like, I don't know if, and I think we talked about this a little bit when George Bush died. But, like, if Kissinger dies and everyone's like, good, fuck that guy, I'm not that worried that, like, relative of Henry Kissinger is, like, online looking at tweets, you know?
Yeah, I think a level, there's, like, politicians feel less, I feel less worried about this because that's, it almost comes with the job.
Right, you're doing things that affect people.
Yeah.
You've had the power and, yeah, you're causing these things.
I still probably wouldn't feel comfortable, but I hear you.
Sure.
Somebody told me in response to yesterday's episode that they think it's obnoxious that I say I hear you. I think it's a productive way of saying, like, I disagree, but I understand where you're coming from. On that note, I think it's time for us to pivot to ad breaks. I'm sorry if I offended you by saying I hear you, Cody.
I hear you.
Feeling low about how it's time for ads? Don't like when people specifically reference that they're doing ads in the middle of those ads? Does it contribute to stress, anxiety, chronic pain, or having trouble sleeping? You're not alone. Many of us hate that Cody made me say these words I didn't read ahead of time, and that's why I appreciate that Feels delivers its premium CBD to your doorstep.
Feels naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness of Cody making you say things in ads. After you place a few drops under your tongue and feels the difference within minutes. If you're new to CBD, Feels offers a free CBD hotline and text message support to help guide your personal experience. It works naturally to help you feel better. There's no high, hangover, or addiction. Feels gets me feeling calm and less stressful. Become a member today by going to feels.com/morenews, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That is feels, feals.com/morenews, to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping.
Feels.com/morenews. Speaking of, Cody, I'm so mad at you. Are there things that are interfering with your happiness and goals? Well then, maybe BetterHelp's online counseling can help you. Connect with a personal counselor in a safe and private and convenient online environment, free from the unsafe, public, toxic online environments in which we regularly spend our time. Anything you share is confidential, and if you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time.
There are numerous ways to communicate with your counselor: text, chat, phone, video. I'm going with text. I don't like talking on the phone.
I know you don't.
And they cover a wide range of topics: stress, anxiety, grief, self-esteem, sexual identity, and more. I could list but won't because we have limited time, and I think a better use of that time is explaining why I won't list more as opposed to actually listing more. But anyway, mental health is important. We talk about it a lot on our podcast that you're listening to, and how, hey, maybe it should be free. Everyone can benefit from therapy, and many don't even know how beneficial it can be. The hardest part for me personally has been to actually do it, like to go and sign up, and you do it, and you say you're going to do it, and you go to someone, and you talk, and you do it. If that's hard for you, whether the reason is personal or financial, maybe BetterHelp can help. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/evenmore. Fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor. Start communicating in under 24 hours. That's BetterHelp.com/evenmore for 10% off your first month.
Do not think it is a crisis line. Don't say that we told you it's a crisis line, because it is not a crisis line. And we're back for even more news.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cody has overruled me.
Yep.
Sorry, Cody.
It's like the croissants thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm vetoing you.
More podcasting is not a sandwich.
Tuesday was the last week that the president's team had to make their opening arguments against impeachment, and woof, guys, woof.
As in, like, howl to the moon, they're doing a great job.
No, as in, woof. Woof. Dershowitz basically tried to argue that the president's personal interests are national interests. And people weren't having it.
It's been something. I keep, like, turning it on every now and then and like listening to it for maybe an hour or something, and it's like every time it's like Ken Starr being like, yeah, what's with all these impeachments anyway, we shouldn't have them.
Unbelievable.
Like every time I tune into an argument, it's them like arguing this really like weaselly way.
It's so frustrating. And Republicans aren't even getting on board. Like after that comment, there a lot of them were like, I'm not going to comment on that. I'm not going to weigh in. I mean, some people obviously are, but they're not going to try to defend that line of reasoning.
Yeah, there's a lot of lines of reasoning that they're just they're grasping at straws. It's very funny.
They just know. Obviously, if you have a brain, the guy's guilty.
Yeah. Apparently, Dershowitz, he often cites this Harvard professor, Nicholas Bowie's. It's like an argument that abuse of power is not a crime, basically.
Uh-huh.
And he was recently on CNN. He's like, no, that's a joke. That's not an accurate interpretation of what I said. Because, I mean, Dershowitz is he's a bit of a clown.
A bit. But it's interesting that you say you dip in and out. I think that is a lot of people's experience.
Oh, for sure.
With this, you know, not because, as you know, Trump would tweet that it's boring or snooze fest, but because it's so frustrating, and you know the end game already.
Right. He keeps calling it like a sham impeachment, and I agree for
it
different
is,
reasons.
But for different reasons, yeah. I had to delete something like that. I mentioned today, I was just thinking about how it sucks that both Bernie and Warren are tied up. I'm not sure how much they have to be in the impeachment, but I know that they certainly are. There's at least some amount of energy that should be campaigning right before Iowa, and they're tied up in these impeachment hearings. And I said it's like a charade of an impeachment. Not because the impeachment process is a charade, but because what the fuck are they doing? Like, we don't get to call witnesses?
Yeah, I mean, because it's a sham.
Yeah, I think the process is kind of shitty, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, they get to decide on the outcome, but they also like aren't impartial at all. So like, what are we doing? Like, why isn't it like a real trial where you like get and people to like judge it?
It's
that
what
don't
he
have
wanted.
A stake in it.
I mean, yeah, we're just slow because we're slowly dipping into
the bad place.
The bad place. Yeah. They've signed on and they're committed. And they're going to do it. And the Democrats aren't necessarily equipped to oppose them.
So I only brought this up to segue into talking about John Bolton. Because, you know, at this point, it does not look like we're going to be able to call witnesses. Earlier this week, especially after this Bolton news broke, it seemed like maybe we would. Maybe McConnell wouldn't be able to get enough votes to block witnesses, but it's looking, we'll find out tomorrow. By the time you guys listen to this, we'll know for sure
He said he couldn't get enough votes, right?
McConnell? He did say
he
that.
He did, but now it but, seems yeah. like they can.
Right. He said that about Kavanaugh or something yeah. similar, where he was like, yeah, know, that, this will go through.
It's probably a way
that
to.
That shifts all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah. so, yeah, sometimes it's accurate. Sometimes I think it's just to, you know, create that news cycle and
yeah.
Right. a sense of security or, you know.
But again, like why can't it just be like a trial? Like right. voting on witnesses is like, what are we doing? What is this?
It's a sham.
Yeah.
There's That's
the,
what it is.
There's stories of like the GOP, like there were articles about them bringing in books and like reading and falling asleep during it. And at first I was like, well, that's screwed up. And then I was thinking about it. I'm like, yeah.
Right, yeah. Right.
I guess I would do the same thing. Okay.
All right. Let's talk about Bolton a little bit.
Resistance hero, John Bolton.
Resistance hero, John Bolton. Welcome to the resistance, resistance hero, mm-hmm. John Bolton. News broke earlier this week that Bolton's upcoming book, they all have books, details how the president told him directly that military aid to Ukraine would remain frozen until Ukraine handed information that would be damning to his Democratic opponents.
But what it doesn't say is that getting information that would be damning to his Democratic opponents is beneficial to him in winning the election,
which is beneficial to the country. Public.
So it's okay.
So it's not a problem,
yeah.
guys. Hmm. This is from USA Today. Bolton wrote that Trump remained bitter that some Ukrainian officials openly backed Clinton in 2016, which he conflated with a debunked conspiracy theory that Ukraine, not Russia, was behind the theft of emails from the Democratic National Committee and the Clinton campaign. The president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, helped stoke his concerns about Ukraine and his animosity toward then U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, Bolton said. Bolton wrote that he, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and Defense Secretary Mark Esper unsuccessfully tried to persuade Trump to release the aid on several occasions. And this one's from WAPO. People familiar with the book, who spoke on the condition of anonymity because of the sensitivity of the project, confirmed that it details Trump tying aid to the desire for Biden probes and details a number of conversations about Ukraine that he had with Trump and key advisors such as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Oh, yeah. It also apparently spells out how he approached William Barr last year, saying he had concerns that President Trump was granting personal favors to autocratic leaders.
Like everybody's been saying. And
like we've all been saying.
Yeah.
Like we all know.
Like, oh, it seems like this is, yeah. I'm so sick. I'm so tired of this shit and these fucking books. These like, it's disgusting.
Well, now he's not going to get to testify, and then this book's going to come out, and everyone's going to
buy the book.
Fucking pissed. And the reaction from the right is, I guess, predictable. Fox has begun calling Bolton a tool of the left, mm-hmm. part of the deep state.
He's a okay. cuck.
Classic deep state.
Classic Bolton. Deep state Bolton.
Tool of the left. You Bolton.
Tool of the left. John
brought
Bolton.
This up, Dave. Brian, how Brian Kilmeade had said that Trump needed to vet his staff better, but John has been a Fox News guest for like 10 years.
Yeah, like they did nothing but praise him.
I know.
They were practically helping him get a gig with Trump on the show, on their shows.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just how it goes. Fox and these some might call tools of the Trump administration promote these figures who have been like hardcore Republicans and neocons for decades and decades. And then they get in there and then they show the slightest bit of shift to be like, well, maybe this Trump guy isn't the best God in the world. And then,
right. Throw him under the bus.
Then they turn on him. Yeah. It's just how it goes. It's so obvious. And again, really, really gross and yeah. weird watching like the Kilmeades and like the John Jesse Waters, mm-hmm. all these freaks. It's a ride.
It's such an obvious pattern. It's such a scumbag yeah. pattern. I think I think in one of the scripts I wrote, I mentioned this because it reminds me of like, we've all known someone who's like a shitty roommate. It reminds me of that. It reminds me of someone who gets a place with someone and they're like, it's going to be great. We're best of friends. And then like a month, they're like trash talking them and
yeah.
it becomes this like terrible burning bridge. And then they get another roommate and they keep doing it. And you're like, well, you're the bad roommate. I'm pretty sure.
Right.
You're the bad yeah. egg.
And it's that where like the moment these people are like, hey, I think Trump isn't so great. As evidenced by my close relationship with them, right. They're just like, well
clearly you're bad. Yeah, you're the bad one.
It's deep state. Like,
it's very funny to me and depressing.
I mean, it is. It's the funniest era of politics ever. Yeah. It sucks.
I mean, the idea that John Bolton, of all people, is a tool of the left. What? And how it just timed perfectly with this whole impeachment thing. Like, he didn't just write this book in the last month. The manuscript, it was already written. And apparently it was at the publishers being vetted to make sure that there aren't anything too classified that's in there.
Sure.
And then it got leaked somehow. I don't care.
The timing isn't unsuspicious. Mm. And it's a book with information that's relevant to the public that he would rather sell in his book.
Yeah.
So fuck him.
I mean, maybe he leaked it to try to convince people to have him testify.
Sure.
I should know this. Why hasn't he been able to testify? Has he just refused? Like, I thought, like, he just didn't want to.
He didn't want to for a while.
Okay, and then
he said he would, but they're not allowing it. Now they want to trade him for Hunter Biden.
Right, and
it's so... Again, going back to trials and stuff, like if there was a murder trial and there's just like a guy on the side who's just like, I saw what happened. I saw everything. And they have to like vote and talk about whether
should we hear him out? Yeah. Should we hear him out? Yeah.
All right. We're running out of time. So let's get through a few more stories really quick. Cody, do you want to talk about
croissants?
No.
Oh.
You've had your time to talk about croissants. This green card story.
Yeah, I just want to talk about this briefly. I'm sure you've heard about it. So the Supreme Court cleared the Trump folks and freaks to start enforcing a new immigrant wealth test.
Ugh.
Basically, so the test would screen out green card applicants. This is like a long line of Stephen Miller's sort of ultimate goals and his plans. It's like seeping in. The test would screen out green card applicants who would be seen as being at risk of becoming a public charge. So let's put a pin in the public charge. Dependent on government programs. Public charge would be someone likely to receive benefits like Medicaid or public housing assistance or food stamps for more than 12 months over like a 36-month period. To make that determination, Homeland Security would, you know, take it. Factors like age, health, education, proficiency at English, family size, wealth, and credit scores, things like that.
Mm. Sounds yucky.
It does sound yucky. It sounds pretty cruel. I mainly just wanted to bring this up because it's reminiscent and it echoes some stuff we've sort of talked about before, but just this sort of overt cruelty and dismissal of people deemed unworthy of society or like not contributing enough to society to earn like dignity.
Yeah.
Or things that they need.
Yeah.
We can do the Nazi comparisons as much as we want. But there's a phrase that they often used and it was useless eaters. And this phrase sticks with me all the time, especially when talking about like means testing for certain programs, but especially when the Trump organization or administration, they're the same thing, talks about things like this. Mm-hmm. Useless eaters. You're not contributing to society, so you don't get food. You're like a leech off of our society.
You don't have a benefit to society.
Right. We have many, many euphemisms for this kind
versus
of thing.
Versus these are people coming here to restart their life, to become...
To contribute to society
because they want a chance.
But also, I don't think that we should tie survival and food to whatever sort of vague idea you have of like contributing to society.
Right.
We've talked about like Jordan Peterson does this a lot with IQ. In an unsettling way. It's just something that it always pings me whenever I see something like this. I'm like, oh, that's useless eater nonsense.
Right.
Get out of here with that. It's really gross and disturbing and cruel. And
yeah. And just the phrasing of this, it seems like it's going to be really easy for them to, you know, start just focusing on specific countries and,
mm-hmm.
and like, just it's a good BS excuse for them to just
right.
be real racist.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like a lot of this, like a lot of these programs, like the means testing aspect of it. And like all the phrases we can use about this, those are used to be racist.
Yeah.
Whether it be immigration or citizens who already live here.
Yeah.
It is used to make it harder for poor people.
Also, like, the government's job shouldn't be to ensure that we give back to society. Mm-hmm. Like,
no.
It should just be to help us live.
All right, right. Are exist. You in society?
Do we have what we need to survive to...
Yeah.
It's not about what you can do for us. It's our government works for us. It's supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, just supposed to provide the things we need.
The idea that there's, like, a checklist of, like, well, did you do this? Did you contribute to this? Then you deserve dignity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that we're going to keep talking about this more at length as it develops and we see this. Yeah. But I really wanted that to be included as well. I wanted to talk about a couple of things real quick before we get out of here. The U.S. life expectancy of the U.S. ticked up the tiniest of bits in 2018 from 78.6 to 78.7. The improved numbers are being credited to a reduction in the total number of fatal drug overdoses for the first time in 28 years. And a decline in the death rate from cancer. But that's not what Kellyanne Conway said. According to her, life expectancy has gone up because of Donald Trump. Life expectancy in America has increased for the first time in 4 years. This isn't a coincidence. It is causation. It is owing to a whole of government approach to treat the whole person led by President Trump, First Lady Melania Trump, and really the entire administration.
That's really funny.
Isn't it funny? I thought that we could have a little fun here.
What has
here.
He done to help what? Life expectancy? Like, what is she... Did she try to give an example? Because
not that I saw.
Right, you'd think like, well, what's the policy that did this?
Is he magic?
Mm-hmm.
It's just magic. Should
George Conway divorce your shitty wife, man?
Yeah,
like, hate each other.
You
what
can
you
do
doing?
Better. It should also be noted,
you're
though.
Both bad, but
I assume like, I assume they have some sort of. Chemistry that's
oh
we're
yeah
not
it's
seeing
yeah
opposites
they
attract
have
yeah
chemistry that,
that's what Paula Abdul taught me
this.
Right
yes exactly that's why she had sex with a cartoon character.
It should be noted this is important that according to the Washington Post, 2018's life expectancy figure is identical to the 2010s, so it kind of shows that progress is stalled. Is that
thanks,
what
Obama.
It's
also
the U.S. is continuing to fall behind other wealthy nations, so
okay. I'm also not sure how I feel about this.
Yeah.
Is that, like, I don't know if we should be living longer, but life expectancy is more like averages and stuff. And, like, what you said about drugs, it's like,
yeah.
I don't want, like, poor people or addicts to die. I want everybody to have a shot. I just don't want, like, you know, I don't want this to keep going.
Yeah, right,
too
right.
Long.
Well, no, that's...
It's just...
Yeah, because also, like, there are other metrics, of like, would you rather have like 80 years of misery or 70 years where like you're happy and healthy? Like the happiness level,
yeah.
Education and fulfillment.
Right. It's not a metric of us.
The length of.
Right.
It's not a metric of whether or not we're doing real good.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it is good to see that drug overdoses have gone down, and so are deaths from cancer. That's dope.
Right. Because I think that's the way it works, right? Is like that's why there's that myth about how like in the Middle Ages you died when you were 35. Mm-hmm. It was because a lot of babies were dying and it would bring down the average.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that thing where it's like if we're talking about just like young people dying tragically of overdoses versus like old people living to be like 120, like it's two different things.
Right, right.
Moving along. Pieces of the president's border wall, you guys, were literally blown over earlier this week during a windstorm. And now, if you can believe it, our new national enemy is wind. It is wind. We are trying to keep the wind out.
What if it always was?
What if it always was?
It until now?
I know he's had a thing against wind and windmills for a long time.
Well, it's
and
nature.
This is just going to make him dig in deeper.
Yeah.
Nature. I wonder
nature
actually.
Pushing you. You're getting shoved by nature every time.
But I wonder if this will actually make him change his mind about
on wind.
Well, because his enemy isn't wind. His enemy is windmills.
But now
which
maybe
actually
it's
are
wind.
Wind turbines, but he calls them windmills.
Yeah.
So his enemy is wind turbines and how they kill birds. But if wind is now the enemy, maybe he will want to put up more wind turbines to slow
this could
the wind,
work in our favor.
Right?
This is what we start telling him. Let's really show it to the wind. Let's put up some wind turbines.
Yeah, slow down the wind to save the wall.
This is the only way you're going to teach wind a lesson.
No, this is how you get a wall on Mexico that just happens to have like wind turbines. It's how you get a green wall.
Yeah.
It's like the like liberals just sort of like giving in to fascist think to in order to get like their little environmental victory. I don't support this.
He doesn't support
no green wall.
And finally for today, E. Jean Carroll, the columnist who says Trump assaulted her in the 90s and is also suing him for defamation after he denied her rape allegations, is petitioning for a sample of his DNA. See, they have the dress that she wore that night tested, and there's a man's DNA on the fabric, and they've ruled out a bunch of people, and they want to determine whether it matches the genetic material on the dress.
That is wild. Oh my God, that's so wild.
I hope she gets it.
I hope she gets it. I have a hard time.
I don't know if she will.
I doubt she will. I don't know how she gets that.
Yeah.
But
I don't think.
But I'm like, yes, girl.
It doesn't seem probable that will happen.
Getting the president's DNA.
Somebody, difficult. If you work, like, we need like a maid who cleans out the waste baskets or something.
Just like presidents and like a pattern of cum on dresses.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's men.
Sure.
Vote for a female for president if you don't want presidential
cum on dresses.
Yeah,
it's
true.
That is a hill I'm willing to die on.
But what if everybody does want that?
We secretly all want presidential cum on our dresses?
Yeah.
Thing to say.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, it's important to look at both sides.
I understand.
Come or no come.
So my thoughts are with E. Jean Carroll.
Yeah, I mean, that's so wild. Yeah. Everyone, because there were so many accusations that culminated during the election. And hers kind of went under the radar because it came later.
I didn't think it went under the radar, but yeah.
I mean, under the radar, everything's under the radar, is my real point, but. Like it disappeared very quickly.
Yeah.
And it's such a credible claim.
There's just so much.
Yeah.
There's like a nonstop. Every day is a new huge front page story.
If he gets voted out, if the impeachment thing doesn't pan out and he actually gets voted out in the next election, I feel like he's going to leave the White House and there's going to be just like three different cops waiting and just like, yeah, we have a lot of things to talk to about.
Right.
We have a whole backlog and you've been just president and we couldn't get to you and now here you are
piling up.
Come on guys, we got to band together and win this thing.
Been waiting for you. Yeah, he's like packing up and they're just like outside pointing at their watches like come on. It's time, buddy.
He tries to sneak out the bathroom window but gets stuck with his large butt.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
I'm sorry, I'm not shaming large butts. I mean, like a big butt, but not his.
He's gonna die in the toilet, so it doesn't matter.
I want him to get arrested first. Okay, that's all the time we have for today. Was that too abrupt?
No. I would say that it would be nice if he was arrested first, but it would also be nice if he died shitting in fear on the toilet because he was about to get arrested.
I want him to get arrested and be in jail when that happens.
Okay. All right.
And then a guard takes a picture for us.
All right.
If you're fantasizing with this stuff, I think by dinosaur because it allows a world in which dinosaurs exist again. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You're adding on layers that benefit us.
Benefiting
Dave,
us.
Your brain is a beautiful thing.
Or like head cut off with a lightsaber.
Yeah, yeah. And then we have lightsabers.
Case. All right. Well, there you go.
I love it. Always comes back to Star Wars.
Yeah.
Dave.
The time machine just like falls on him.
Where can our listeners find you online?
Oh, geez. I have a Twitter at MovieHooligan. I have a podcast network that I co-own with Tom Ryman called Gamefully Unemployed. You can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. And you can find me, you know, doing stuff for Some More News.
Woo!
Woo, woo, woo!
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
I hope I was close enough to the mic this whole time.
You certainly were. I hope so, too. Before I go, I just want to say...
I bet I know what you're going to say.
I love you very much.
I knew it. Aww. Sandwiches.